order the August 18th, 2016 meeting of the Tiburon Design Review Board. We'll start with roll call.
Chair Kryzensky. Vice Chair Emerson.
Here.
Board Member Chong.
Here.
Board Member Cousins.
Here.
And Board Member Tolini.
Here.
Now is time for oral communications. If there's anyone that wants to bring up something that's not on the agenda, now is the time to do so. Seeing none, staff briefing.
Just to note that if anyone's here for 173 Stewart Drive, that's been continued to the September 1st meeting.
We'll start with old business, for Corto Las Casas. And so everyone knows the applicant has up to 20 minutes to present. And then we open it up to the public where we ask that you keep it to 3 minutes. And then the applicant would have will have a chance to respond to any issues brought up by the public.
I'm Christy Torres, the project designer for Corte Las Casas. So when I was here 4 weeks ago, we're discussing the project. It was bigger at that point. We were asking for more floor area. We were asking for 3,640, which was 605 square feet over the allowable. So we have significantly reduced that, almost cut it in half for today. We're asking for only 320 square feet over instead of the 600. So we've made a couple modifications to the design based on the feedback we received last year. So just to recap, it's
Anybody have any questions? Okay. Thank you. Anyone want to talk in the public? If not, we'll bring it back to the board. Who would like to start?
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I was probably the one with the most opposition to the original scheme. I'd like to compliment the applicant and the architect for the steps that they've made. I think, you know, they have done a lot to reduce the apparent bulk of the house and to make it smaller. I mean, we talked last meeting about how the character of the house related to the neighbourhood, and I mean, I think having a second story is fine, and you know, the other houses are in the neighbourhood are the similar size. However, I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, the zoning ordinance doesn't say, you know, if you have a house in a zone, it can be the same size as all the other houses in the zone. It says it has to be proportional to the size of the lot that it's on. And so I still struggle with saying, yes, you know, this house can have the increased floor lot coverage, which it already has, I don't object to that, but then to say, well, it's also going to exceed its FAR. And I do have trouble getting behind that. You know, I can't really see how we could agree that variance. The applicant also sort of said, well, you know, this is we need to have our children's bedrooms on the same level as the master bedroom. But, you know, when you look at the plan, the master bedroom has got bigger. One of the bedrooms is a full double with an ensuite. It's not really a child's bedroom. I mean, it's not for young children. You could design this so you could have young children who need adult supervision up there without having to make it over the area of the house. So I think I'm still saying no to the variance.
I think I'm the same place where Gordon is. For whatever reason, and I think the reason was that the powers that be in Tiburon decided, you know, we need to do something about the zoning in Tiburon, and places are being, whatever, I don't know their reason, but I know that for me, when they say you can't go over the FAR, and here's how you calculate the FAR, and they're already over lot coverage, it just makes it difficult for me to get behind it. I think it's a super handsome design. I love the design of the house, but I think that there was a zoning ordinance put in place, and it said that you can't go over lot coverage unless you get a variance, and you can't go over the FAR. We'll see it an exception. So I'm still stuck on that because I think that, you know, it's a way to keep things a little bit more suburban and open, and just, while a handsome design, I still can't get behind it because it's over in both FAR and lot coverage.
So as I recall, Mike and I were the two that were the supporters, so my opinion hasn't changed, and that I'm still supportive of the project, and I guess I just look at it as does the neighborhood benefit more from, you know, this design on this lot and in this application, or the house that stays and remains there? And I think that that in the end, this is, you know, a gorgeous design for the neighborhood, and I stand supportive of my original stance.
Me too. Look, I mean, this is a substandard lot. You know, fortunately, it's not a requirement in making a FAR exception that you have to consider whether or not it's over on lot coverage. So I think that's reading an additional requirement into the statute that's not there. I think the findings that the statute requires for are two that I can easily make. You know, one being that the size and scale of the structure is compatible with the pattern. There's a lot of two-story houses in this neighborhood. I mean, this is the pattern. I think the house fits it. And the other is that the structure is compatible with the physical characteristics of the site. I mean, nothing about the site suggests to me that this is overbuilt. They're reining in the lot coverage, so to the extent they're gonna hold the existing lot coverage variance against them in the existing house, doesn't seem to be any consideration given that they're reining that in to try to make it more modest. And look, I mean, this is trying to turn this into a functional family house. This is one of these really dumb master suite layouts that, you know, have squeaked through in a handful of neighborhoods like Belveron because that's the only second story you can get through in Belveron. This is not Belveron. This is a two-story neighborhood. They want four bedrooms on the same floor. They're modestly shaped. They're not excessive. I mean, if you look at the master bath, this is the smallest master bath I've seen in Tiburon that I can think of. So, to me, these findings can be made, and I can make them quite easily. Still.
Well, I'm right in between. you know, the one part of me still says to be, you know, consistent that when a lot is over on both the coverage and the FAR, that the lot is overbuilt. You know, do I think the design works? Yeah. I think doing the revisions that the architect did helped a great deal. I don't know.
I mean, what would you guys prefer to see that? I mean, effectively another 300 and something square feet be removed from the second story. I mean, I think that's the only thing that can be done, really, right? I mean, in order to get the most conservative members on board with this.
Yeah, to bring it.
I mean, that basically means a master suite plus maybe one bedroom. So you're talking bunk beds or something. I mean,
Well, it's a house. It's a habitable house that someone wants at the moment. They're trying to make it larger. That's fine, but you know, we have to draw the line somewhere in this town. Everyone wants bigger houses.
So why don't we draw it where the statute says these are the findings to be made.
The statute says the FAR.
Okay,
the staff doesn't agree with you. I don't know why you're saying the staff says they can't find the reason for the variance.
Okay, but let's review why. The proposed additions would result in a house design that is more vertical in the lot and less compatible with the generally level terrain. But with all due respect to the staff, I don't see what a vertical house has to do with flat terrain. We allow lots of two-story houses that are inherently vertical, that's how houses work, on lots that are flat. They're not related to me. I just respectfully disagree with the finding.
Fine.
Okay, what about the second one?
The first one was, is it a two-story neighborhood? Is it consistent with the pattern of the neighborhood? That's the easy one. Staff agrees that can be made. I mean, I don't see the inconsistency of the proposed structure with the lot, personally. And reasonable minds differ. And you can disagree, but I just think that the reasons that I'm hearing for not, you know, for being against the project don't have anything to do with
the reason I'm against it is the size of it, the floor area.
The size, yeah. It is the size.
Because when you look at it, you say, this looks like a 10,000 square foot lot, and this looks like a 3,600 square foot house, and that's not consistent.
When I do look at it, I say this house completely fills the lot. It's a small lot with a huge house on it. I mean, yeah, it's surrounded by trees, but it's still, it's out of scale.
I don't think you can tell how small the lot is.
I don't care if I can tell, but if you want to get a feel for the neighborhood,
but, we have
and
this
see if it's compatible, you drive around, I see the other lots, and they feel more spacious.
You and Gordon, I think we know where you are. I mean, it's really just a matter of where John is.
Sure, I'm listening to both sides,
yeah.
So.
I think we have the problem on not just this lot, but you know, it comes I think we need consistency with the board on our approach to people who come up and say, okay, I've got a lot of a certain size. Even people with very big lots say, I want to go over the allowable area. And you could say, well, it's not going to affect anyone on a big lot, but it is important because, you know, we can't just complete go on adding area to Tiburon houses. All houses could be 10% over the area.
I agree. You only do it where you can make the findings. And it's an issue of whether you can make the findings. I can. Brian can. You can't. Linda can.
I mean, I'll go
back. But that's the guiding principle. It's not like we're just the Wild West here, just approving anything that comes up. FAR, floor area, give us, you know, bring us your encroachments. Bring us your setback variances. There's a principle when we say yes. That's it.
I'll come back to Mike's comment about, like, I'm not sure how, you know, a house with the one master bedroom suite upstairs got approved. Like, I personally think it's a bad design, especially in a town like Tiburon where there's a lot of families. And I share, like, my personal situation is my master bedroom is on a different floor than the small bedroom in the house. And I now have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and it's basically become like the family bedroom because we're not willing to move, you know, the kids downstairs to a different area. So I don't know the applicant. I don't even know if the applicant has kids or plans to have kids or anything like that. But I will say that, like, having like a home where a master suite is on the same suite as the bedrooms for the kids, I think is just functionally good design. And so it's bad that these houses, you know, in like Delveron are getting designed with one master bed. I mean, the whole thing that we went through with 22 Mercury way back when was a family that had bought a house, thought they could improve it to basically put, you know, the kids on the same floor as them without destroying their entire backyard, and, you know, because they wanted it for kids. And in the end, they moved to the backside of Paradise where they could get, you know, a home that was, you know, a 2-story and have, you know, kids on the same floor. And I believe that this is a 2-story neighborhood. Like Mike said, that, like, this is a family area where...
But I don't read the zoning ordinance as fitting in with how you like to raise your kids. That's just not part of what I get around. I mean, I respect that you have kids. I personally know plenty of people that parents were upstairs and the kids were downstairs. But that's not what I think of when I'm thinking of what works. I mean, this is not about how your family's raised or where you like to have your kids. This is about this set of rules that we have to go by, and for me, it doesn't fit in the neighborhood. I mean, it has nothing to do with the family dynamics at all.
So you disagree with the staff's conclusion that it fits in with the neighborhood?
I agree that it really.
So you're saying that this design fits in with the neighborhood less than the design that's currently on the house, currently on the lot.
I think Linda's saying the opposite, which I think is disagreeing with staff.
I think if the lot was bigger,
it would look like a great house.
Yeah, it would be a great house. I love the design. It's pretty, but I think it's overbuilt.
So, Brian, coming back to your house, did your HAR have a FAR exception?
What's that?
Your house, did it have a FAR exception when it was built?
My FAR is 100 and something percent. I think my FAR is 110 or 115%, something like that.
Of course, you're on Corinthian Island. I mean, I would expect that.
Okay, well, the zoning ordinance says he's over FAR and over lot coverage, so, you know.
That's a different case, Mike.
I know, and it's case by case, and that's why we have these discussions.
But this is
a
little different than Corinthian Island.
I understand, but if we're saying that there's a policy...
Well, you're not going to convince the two of us, so just wait for John to come up with his...
Once again, John's been put in the place of...
Just end this, please.
I'll say whatever I say, somebody's not going to like me.
Blame it on me.
I didn't like you to begin with, John.
Okay, I started this analysis by saying, you know, by going by the numbers. I think two things may be swaying me in the other direction. I think your argument with Brian about how the bedrooms work is a valid point, because and as the architect said, there's really not a way to get that to happen on the ground floor. And, you know, it is cut down. It's only 320 square feet over. And I think what probably another part of the deciding factor is that this lot is so much smaller, both than the surrounding homes and the minimum for that zoning. And we have allowed variances for lots that are smaller than the zoning code before. And I think that's how I can make the finding.
But that argument supports our thing, is that it will look overbuilt because you're saying it's a too small lot for the surrounding neighborhood. Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Because of the small lot, it's going to look more overbuilt.
But if your hesitation to begin with is just numbers based, then the fact that this is the smallest lot in the array of comparable lots is pretty relevant, because that's the basis on which you're not comfortable. It's not driving around and saying, oh, this house, this one is overbuilt. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to draw that conclusion.
I think they will.
Well, and you're, okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. As to 4 Cordero Las Casas, I move that the project is categorically exempt from CEQA and be approved with attached conditions of approval.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
And just for the record, the variance for front yard setback is not approved,
right,
as far as, because they moved it back.
Yeah, they moved it back, correct.
Right. Nor was it requested, right?
With the design as submitted.
Right.
All right. Next we have 8 Apollo Road. Yeah,
so you just have to take the microphone.
Just take the mic with you.
Just because we record everything.
I
present my project here. My name is Cedric Barringer. I'm the owner of the subject property at David Hall Road. I'm currently a senior designer and project manager for David Hall Architecture in San Francisco. Prior to working at this office, I spent 6 years working for Sandy Walker of Walker and Moody Architects in San Francisco, and almost 2 years with Barbara Chambers of Chambers and Chambers Architects in Mill Valley. I've worked on many projects in Chevron through my years in the field. On a personal level, I'm a half-time father of 2 children, age 7 and 10, who attend school in Mill Valley. I lived in the Bay Area for 20 years, Chevron for the last 2, and before that, Mill Valley since 2009. Most important to point out, I think, is that this project is my personal house for me and my family. This is not a spec home. I love Chevron, all that has to offer, and though financial stress for me, I'm pursuing my dream of designing my own house in the exact place that I want to be. You're familiar with the plans by now, but I'll walk you through the basics. The existing house is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,745 square foot house, 400 square feet of which was an infilled garage, not uncommon in homes of this era that have been updated. The proposed residence would add 396 square feet of unconditioned garage and 330 square feet of conditioned floor area, extending the existing residence primarily to the north and south. The proposed total conditioned floor area is 2,075 square feet, and the proposed gross footage is 2,471 square feet. The R1 zoning of the property allows for a FAR of 35% in the lot area, plus 600 square feet of unconditioned garage. The subject lot, which is small in an area of 6,995 square feet, calculates to be 2,445 square feet of conditioned space plus 600 square feet of garage for a total FAR of 3,045 square feet. The lot coverage, however, this property is 30% of the lot, which calculates to 2,099 square feet. The current residence is 24.9% of that. The proposed residence is a total of 2,075 square feet with a 330 square foot single car garage. Total gross square footage, 2,471 square feet. That brings the proposed lot coverage to 35.3% of the lot area, 5.3% over the allowable limit. I feel like it should be noted that counting only conditioned area of the residence, 2,075, the lot coverage would be 29.7% under the lot coverage requirement for conditioned space. The proposed gross area is still 574 square feet under the allowable FAR if a second story were a possibility. Obviously, as I'm sure you're familiar, the Belvoir East neighborhood, not even though there's some precedent, second stories are not popular. In neighbor discussions, I am certainly aware of that, and I've designed what I believe is a modest single-story home. Program-wise, the plan is pretty simple. We have a central hallway with 3 bedrooms, including master suite, and 2 bathrooms on the east side, toward you guys on this plan, and a garage laundry, another bedroom suite on the west side. Those are all under a slightly shorter roof with 10-foot plate heights, and then a larger volume in the back with kind of a great room concept. Obviously containing kitchen, living room, and dining rooms. I want to note that solar panels are just in the plan. Solar panels are shown conceptually only, and will be designed by a subcontractor when the time comes. The intent I can get all the necessary with all the machines the best. If I can lay the solar panels flat, that would be my preference anyway. That's something that
we can't do anything about solar panels.
Right, right. So I have some materials here. I would describe the house. I would describe the house as warm contemporary with kind of a warm gray stucco siding. The windows are anodized aluminum, which many manufacturers are kind of it's almost a black, which is similar.
That's the framing of the windows.
That's the framing of the windows. And then the taller volume in the rear would be a stained wood, most likely a cedar.
Plate height is in the great room. You said it was 10 feet in the other part of the house, but what is the plate height?
The heights are it's about 14 foot 10 on the west side, and 16 feet at the east side of the bigger volume there.
I'm sorry, is that the plate height or the roof height?
That's the top of the eave. That's
okay,
the maximum.
I think she was asking
plate
for height. Plate height.
Oh, plate height is, depending on the size of the framing, it would probably be 14 inches lower than that. So
14 inches less than 16 feet.
Yeah,
right?
So 14 8. I do feel like the neighborhood is a mixture of contemporary and kind of an eclectic mix of houses from the era that have been updated. There's three houses up. There's quite a contemporary house that seems to fit very well in the neighborhood. The lighting fixtures are also would be a dark bronze color and would meet the downlighting requirements. Underside of eaves would also be a stained wood, most likely cedar as well as the, and then fascia boards would be painted a dark gray that complements the other materials. The roof would be a built-up roof with aggregate, medium gray is the color that I'm desiring. Fence would also be stained wood, also most likely cedar. Landscape-wise, it would be a mixture of varied grasses, succulents, and other drought-tolerant plants, as required by Tiburon Fire and meeting the water-efficient landscape requirements of the town. As regards to planning, I see one major element of the plan, the landscape plan, being the removal of the incense cedar tree in the front yard, which, in addition to being non-native to Marin, was found by Urban Forestry Associates, my arborist, to be in fair to poor condition with some major structural deficiencies. My landscape plan proposes its replacement with two Japanese maple trees towards the front of the property, which are on the drought-tolerant list of approved plants. Pathways and driveway are planned to be concrete pavers inlaid with river rock. In lieu of a traditional sod lawn, I'm proposing using a dune sedge grass, which requires only 1/10 the water of sod. In reviewing the letters from neighbors, I made a proactive effort to meet with the neighbors and was able to discuss with them some of their concerns. I did this last Tuesday evening and wanted to address a few of the items that they raised. The height of the rear volume has been raised by most. I think it's worth noting that there are several structures in the neighborhood that are over 20 feet tall and a couple that are near 18 feet tall, so I feel a 16-foot height is not out of place or excessive. I recognize that volumetrically this design differs from the existing but it's only 18 inches higher than the existing ridge line, which is 14.6. So I feel that the proportions are at this height are shorter in length than the existing, which is a ridge that goes east-west across the whole house, and it's set back from the street. Privacy issues were raised regarding the taller volume. The ceilings are indeed high. It's kind of a key design element to making the spaces feel bigger. It's a single-story residence, so I don't see a strong correlation between ceiling height and privacy. The height of the person obviously is not going to shift. Light pollution from the tall windows, specifically along the east and the west property lines, at the shorter volume, the windows do go up to the eaves, about 9'8" above the floor. But these are all bedrooms, and I do intend to have shades on those, both for my own privacy as well as that of neighbors. Light pollution from the larger volume, specifically addressed by side and backyard neighbors. I do plan on having shades to mitigate light emission from the volume at night, though specs have not been decided at this early stage. I plan on at least 50% blackout shades. Just run through a couple small. Just some materially get a little larger. This is a similar style house with kind of a warm gray stucco, aluminum windows, and a volume that's wrapped in wood. This is a window manufacturer that has kind of a similar window style. It's from Blomberg, flat aggregate roof. Fencing would be horizontal slats. Garage door, anodized aluminum with obscured glass. This is an image of kind of the driveway and the paver concepts, stained concrete inlaid with pebbles. These are some of the specs for exterior lighting features. The first kind of reversed L is a landscape light. Some of the sconces and some path lights that would be in a wall. Let's have to zoom in. So I did meet with three of my four direct neighbors Tuesday, I apologize. And I clarified some of the items that I just talked it through with them, and I've sketched this for a discussion purpose, and in the interest of neighbor relations, I would be happy to make these small changes. So what is shown in this sketch is the so this is west is to the left, east is to the right, section through the larger volume. Reducing the plate height on the left side to 12 feet in height, which would bring that eave line down 18 inches, which is that's the one that's closest to 6 Apollo, but closest to the setback. And then reducing the height of the other plate height to 13.6, which would bring that height down to 15.3, which is only 9 inches taller than the existing ridge. And if desired, I would be amenable to reducing the depth of the eave overhang, which on two sides with a larger volume is 4 feet. Be amenable to reducing that to 3 feet if that makes a difference to those involved. In conclusion, I do feel that this project is in the scale and fits within the fabric of the neighborhood. I feel it's a modest, well-designed home that would increase neighborhood appeal, and I've truly enjoyed meeting many of my neighbors through this process and look forward to making this my residence and calling the neighborhood home.
Anyone have, yeah, question for the?
Oh, I did have one question before we lose you. The existing house, it looks like it's built into the setback on the southwest.
On the southwest, it actually does overhang the setback by about 2 feet.
But the new step design, I wanted to confirm, it looks like it's just pulling it entirely out of the setback?
Right, correct. So the dashed line is the existing property, existing outline of it, and it's at the south, just to point it out here. Actually, let me put it out on the model. So that, this dot here is the existing corner of the house.
Right.
So because I'm going taller on that volume, that's kind of why I had the step design, which is it aligns with the plan. There's going to be any negative effects as far as the space.
Okay.
But that's right here. This corner here.
Okay. Thanks for confirming.
So we don't, yeah, put.
Oh.
Members of the public that would like to speak, now is the time.
My wife and I and my two kids, we reside at 6 Apollo Road, which is directly west.
Could you state your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. Paige Bakepour. We submitted a letter as well. So we reside directly west of the subject property, and our primary concern is the greater room and its impacts as it relates to height. The applicant went over some of our concerns. We did meet with him on Tuesday. He mentioned that he would potentially reduce the height by up to 2 feet on our side. Today you mentioned 18 inches, so there's a little bit of discrepancy there. What we'd like to see is new story poles with a reduced height so that we can visually assess the impacts prior to any approval. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Andy Wisner at 10 already on the other side. On the east side. Andy Wisner. We have the same concerns, and I should say right off the bat, I really appreciate Cedric coming over early in the process, showing us the plans, talking to us. But really, until the story pulls were up, we want to be supportive. We just went through a remodel. We know how it goes. We don't want to delay anything. But when the story pulls were up, it really was viscerally large. We don't quite have the proximity issue that Paige has at 6 Apollo because it's not so close to our fence, but it is very vertical and there's a lot of glass facing us, and that's kind of our main concern. And I appreciate the concern of sort of like wanting to keep the style, and maybe we can tweak this and tweak that and just lower this a little bit. But when we talk in Tuesday, we talk about lowering 2 feet on the west side and 18 inches on the east side facing us. What you just presented, Senator, was less than that. It was what the original drawing, which was like 9. But I sort of feel like what's going on here is like that there's a lot of, there's a little bit of a lot coverage overage. There's this whole concept of a flat roof versus like what most houses in the neighborhood are, the gabled roofs. This 10-foot plate height throughout the whole house, which is taller than most houses. And cool, well, I would love that too. But then you have this pop-up on top of that, which goes up to 16 feet, and the flat nature of the design, which really projects that height way out to the extremities. sort of feel like you have to pick one or two of these things. Like if you want a 10-foot plate height throughout, then you can't really have a big pop-up. You know, if you were to go down at 8-foot plate height, then maybe there could be a pop-up or not a gate, not a flat roof. You know, like you sort of like you're asking for all these things at once, which seems excessive to me. But that's all. So our main concerns are lots of glass facing us. And then one concept, you guys were mentioning setbacks earlier. The eaves overhang, the setback, is that true? Like there's a setback, there's the side of the building, but then the eaves sort of go, they're allowed to go out as much as you, is there like a different, that's just a question, is there a different limit for how far the eaves can go out towards the fence?
We allow eaves of up to 4 feet. The house itself is supposed to be at the setback line.
So that's all. I mean, again, thanks for coming to us. Thanks for talking. You seem like you'd be a great neighbor. But regardless of your, you know, intentions to live there forever, like this is, things change. You could build a house and you could be gone just because realities intrude on plans. And the house is going to be next to us for good. So that's all. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, the applicant can respond to those comments if you wish, or we'll just bring it back to the board.
Just a brief response to my quote directing your recite. We had talked about lowering towards view page of 2 feet and
to direct your
statements
to ask. Sorry. And when I sketched it out, there was what I imagined would be a bit of a waterproofing issue with the taller volume kind of sitting on top of the lower volume. So that's why in the sketch I showed, it was kind of the initial concept, so it was not intended to be misleading.
Thank you. All right. Hey, Dan. Come up in light.
I'll start. I think the house looks, it's an awesome design. I love this house, and I applaud you for, you know, what you're doing with the landscaping, and I think it's going to be a great addition to the neighborhood, but it's too big. Shades aren't permanent. So even though you have every intention of covering your windows with shades, that's not how we operate. We're trying to make things, and this 14-foot plate height is huge. I think if it was a gabled roof, or a hipped roof or anything, but the kind of roof you have, it wouldn't be so, it feels so intrusive, like just a big wall. And then the glass goes up to the 11-foot, I think it's 11-foot roof height, which is, that's getting up there, and it's gonna be over a fence, and lights are gonna be on, and I think that one of the pictures you showed with the lights on and that beautiful glass, it's bright. And personally, I wouldn't want to live next to that. And I think that as competent as an architect as you are, you can come back with a great design that is going to make the neighbors happy. But a 16-foot roof line is, I just can't get behind that in this neighborhood. I'm sorry.
I'm happy to go next. I compliment the architect for you know, being proactive with the neighbors and obviously having a dialogue with them. I also think that the discourse that's fostered has been a very fair one, and I think the comments of the neighbors are fair, and the response to date has been thoughtful. My concerns really are twofold. I mean, one, it's you know, primarily the height of that back volume, as well as the height of the glazing really throughout the house, on the sides as well as the back, I guess, in particular. you know, there's just a real difference between, you know, a ridge height and the height of a flat roof, and, you know, where the entirety of that volume is raised up to that sort of height, it does look big. And so I agree with Linda it is, to me, too much height and too much volume, you know, for the immediacy of, you know, the neighbors, really on, you know, three sides, but especially the sides. It may well be that the compromise that has been proposed, or maybe, you know, some further tweaks on top of that, including bringing the eaves back, will help. I do think that, you know, having the benefit of the story poles is something that's a very fair request by the neighbors, given, you know, the close proximity right up, you know, right up against the setback, and really the significant change that, you know, the project represents. I think that that's something that everyone should have a chance to, you know, get to see and try to get comfortable with or not, and then go from there. But, you know, compliment to the architect for pulling the project out of the setback. That certainly helps, especially, you know, on that western boundary, what would have been, you know, a 6-foot setback with whatever volume it's going to be. And I think the design's very attractive. You know, I mean, Juno, there's a couple of homes that, you know, have the flat roof modern design as well. So, you know, it's certainly not, to my mind, going to be out of character with the neighborhood. I think that there is a mix of design in the neighborhood, and I think this would be a very attractive addition. So for me, it's just a matter of, you know, getting to a point where the height, both of, you know, the roof as well as the glazing, is one that's just not going to be tipping the scales to be over intrusive too far.
I agree with most everything. I mean, I think the design's gorgeous. I think it's well thought out. The use of the materials, the plan. I think it's, you know, I'd love to see more of this type of stuff, and not only in that neighborhood, but just in Tiburon in general. Exact same concern. It's, you know, when I went to the backyard neighbor at 6 Apollo, it was too there. I mean, it was, and I don't think that just that 18 inches and doing the story poles. I think it needs, you know, something significant. I like to also see height as one, maybe moving it also a little bit further away from that setback, enough to allow for some more mature plannings there. Because that's the other thing is that I think we've seen a number of homes in this area where it's done that, but it's been either up against trestle wind and didn't affect as many people, or there was a lot more mature landscaping, and this is clearly a big open area there. So I'd like to also see maybe some landscaping in between that might help with that over the long term. But pretty much the same place.
Yeah. The existing houses in that area, typically the wall plates are 8 feet and the ridges are 15 feet. And when you start taking the whole house up to 15 feet, that's a massive increase in volume. And then bringing it out to the setbacks, I mean, comparing that to an eaves at 8 feet is double height. So it's there is a house, I think, at 12 Apollo, which has gone this style with a flat roof, but I think there it's also got very high eaves, but I think it's probably 10 feet, but I think it goes throughout the whole house, so it doesn't have the pop-up in it, but that the eaves still look pretty tall. I mean, so I think your neighbor on number 10 made a comment, you know, if you want to pop up, then maybe you need to bring the front down as well. So that you can at least you can still get your differentiation. But if you want the front to be 10 feet, then I think it's 10 feet throughout. You know, it's really that big. You know, you're not going to have. I don't think it'll ever fit in with, you know, bringing it down to 15 feet or 14 feet for a flat roof or a pitched flat roof. I mean, I just don't think the scale of it is too big for that area. And, you know, the effect not only on 6, but I went into the back gardens of the houses on Juno, and because you're coming out right up to that setback, it's huge for those houses. It has a big impact because they're set down 3 feet as well. So, you know, effectively, when you're looking at houses 18 feet tall, effectively a double story. I like the design elements that you've got, the materials that you have. You know, you've kept it all within the, I think you're, a single story is great. I think it'll be a nice house, but I think you just need to work on the volume.
Sorry, and just to confirm, I mean, the lower part isn't 10 feet, right? It's 11 feet 10,
well,
so it's almost 12,
plate
right?
It's a 10 foot plate height.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's like 11 foot 6.
Yeah.
I wasn't suggesting it was 8 feet including the roof.
Yeah, I agree with the other board members. You know, there's just such a difference. You can use the number on the roof height and say that, you know, that the existing house is only 2 feet lower, but that's at one point in one line, and then it reduces dramatically. And to take that whole mass, put it up against the setback line, against the one neighbor's property, it just, and then have windows. I mean, those windows are gonna feel like they're in their backyard.
Yeah.
And even on the lower portion to have the windows go up to just under the plate height. And generally, the fences and the landscaping pretty much take care of the window and the light pollution and stuff. But when you push the windows all the way up there, granted, it's maybe not that someone's going to be tall enough to look out of them.
It's not
but,
privacy,
but still, it's perceived intrusion of privacy. Having those windows, and so I don't know what the solution is, but I think that the that pop up is too voluminous. It just is too imposing on the neighbors and all three neighbors.
So I'm just wondering, are we in agreement that 18 inches? Because I agree that it's not.
No,
enough.
It means something more than that.
Probably.
So let me ask you this, if the roof was at a much steeper angle, and let's say it remained in the basically if this end remained in a similar height, but this one was dropped way down, so that it was just basically more like a steeper shed roof? Because my biggest concern is on this side, right? The center,
side.
Just kind of the similar to the way the existing roof that goes up doesn't feel as bad because the height of it's far enough away.
Really, it really stops feeling modern and starts feeling like 80s contemporary when you have like, you know, 45 degree angle shed roof.
And I wasn't.
You know what I'm saying?
I think we should go to the architect.
Like
yeah.
Sea range.
But I agree. I mean, there's more tolerance for height in the middle of the property.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted the volume by having, you know, an ordinary pitch roof over it, so you could have a 16-foot height ridge, but coming down and down around the edges and
so
a hip at the end,
then.
It would be fine. You know, because. It's not the central mass that's the problem, it's coming up to the edges.
Yeah.
So either lower or some sort of pitch roof would probably work better.
All right, so it sounds like what they
need. Unless the architect can, I know the applicants indicated that they're working on some of the drawings, but unless they can get the revised plans and story poles by next Monday, that would get you to the September 1st meeting, otherwise it needs to probably be continued to September 15th.
Preference?
Is that okay?
First to 15th.
Or can you get the story pulls up?
And the revised plans.
And in four days.
Account. That's what we usually go to the 15th. If it was just a matter of changing the story pulls, we often can continue it to the next meeting, but usually we allow a second meeting to be able to prepare the appropriate plans. Just need a verbal okay about extending the permit streamlining act for a couple of days off there, so just allowing us to be able to continue it and give you additional time to do that, so if you're agreeable to that. Thank you.
I move that we continue 8 Apollo Road application to the September 15th design review board meeting.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? 43 Gilmartin.
Get to kick the render off.
My name is David Lewis. My wife and I are residents at 143 Gilmartin. We've been a San Francisco Bay Area resident for 20 years. We moved to Tiburon 2 years ago. We moved there with a lonely dog named Bailey. We've since added a two-year-old named Olivia. We decided to go to Tiburon next month. They called a two-month-year-old Jack. We've come to really love our street, so much so my wife has named her consulting business the Gilmartin Group. And her and her growing business and her seven employees are based downtown in Tiburon. So I think we've spent a lot of time on this project. I think we moved to Tiburon 2 years ago. It was a very interesting time on the street of Gilmartin. There's a lot of angst around a large remodel going on at the upper part of Gilmartin. We sort of designed these plans in the wake of that remodel and frankly tried to minimize the impact to the neighbors. And that's what you'll hear from Ted and his team this evening. So with that, I will turn it over to the experts. Lynn and I are also out with kind of concerned questions. So to the extent you have them, obviously please keep the architectural terminology to bear for us. It's embarrassing for everybody. But Ted is from OXB Studios, and we also have John Merton, who is our landscape architect as well. I'm happy to answer all your questions and run through their presentation. Thank you.
Hello, Ted Bonneau with OXB Studio Architects. We have a slideshow for you here, and I just want to talk about the project a little bit. So let's see. Here we have I'd like to start off with a brief description of the context and the neighborhood. This is the subject property right here. And it is in a residential plan development zoned neighborhood, and it's governed by the rules of the Del Madera precise plan. The general character of this neighborhood consists of larger lots approaching an acre, typically, sometimes more, with larger single-family houses and generous amounts of open space. In terms of the neighborhood, there really is, in our opinion, there is no predominant pattern of scale along Gilmartin. Other than that, the majority of the houses are fairly large. They're predominantly one, two stories tall, as viewed from the street, and sometimes three. Here are some pictures of houses along Gilmartin driving up towards the property. This is important to note for the floor area exception finding number one, which discusses that the visual size and scale of the proposed structure is compatible with the predominant neighborhood pattern. So these ones were on your way up to the house, and then as you get past the house, a couple two-story structures. There are one-story structures as well as visible from the street, but generally the pattern is one, two, and sometimes three stories. Back to the immediate vicinity of the subject lot, the floor area ratios of the immediate neighbors range from just over 20% to nearly 28%. This is, again, the subject property here. David and Lynn's existing house is the smallest of these four right here. It's currently at 13.9%, and with this project increases to 17.9%, so still the largest ratio of these four houses. This is the existing site plan. There are 25-foot required setbacks on all sides. You can see the shape of the existing building, which is pushed near the front setback, and this shape creates an entry court on the upper portion of the lot. This is flat right here. This existing portion is one story, and this portion here is two stories. There is generally a flat yard across this area with a fairly steep slope down this way towards the open space, and then a steep slope up here, a berm more or less, and it's pretty densely vegetated between them and the nearest neighbor here. This is the proposed site plan. A key goal of the Del Madera precise plan is for no impact to any views or privacy of neighbors. The addition has been specifically designed in the least impactful location on the site, with new building forms here and here. Anything done here basically would affect the privacy of this neighbor, and this neighbor's views are directed in this direction. So anything done back in this area would really have affected their views. These additions, because of the topography and vegetation, are below and private from this neighbor here. This is important to note for the second floor area exception finding, which requires that the structure is compatible with the physical characteristics of the site. It should also be noted that Philip and Kimberly Leong, the neighbors here at 145 Gilmartin, reviewed and approved of this design. I'm gonna go a little bit out of order here. This is the rear elevation, so away from the street here, the existing on top and the proposed on the bottom. The existing house is a little bit interesting in that it was designed sort of like there was this main structure here, and this portion really looks like an addition, although it was built at the same time. So it's a little bit interesting in that way. This portion here is red brick, and this portion here is painted white siding. The brick portion seems to be influenced by Georgian architecture, and with the red brick overall forms and detailing. With a little work, there's just a little bit of work planned on this whole portion of the structure, with the main work being on over in this area. The idea of the project was to sort of respect this original form right here, this portion of the form, by stepping in the walls on both sides, here and here, and creating a lower separate roof ridge. We couldn't continue the brick so easily and extend that structure, and we thought it best to separate the new structure in a form, form-wise anyways. Here we have the west elevations this is the proposed west elevation, and this is the proposed east elevation, the two side elevations. So we strove to create articulated forms to avoid large blocky forms and to avoid uninterrupted roof lines. We also wanted to make sure the building stepped up gradually from the street in mass. and away from the street and away from the entry court, and by doing so avoid straight two-story expanses of walls. In terms of the inspiration for this project, one of our goals was to clean it up and simplify the architectural style and kind of bring it more into context with the surrounding neighborhood. We're proposing to paint or whitewash the existing brick, paint the stucco a similar color, and provide new black frame windows, and paint the existing windows to match the new. We wanted to maintain the general traditional forms, but modernize it a bit with materials and details. The staff report suggests that we discuss the roof decks tonight, so I wanted to provide a little bit more information that is not on the plans. The new plan actually reduces the floor area of second floor balconies from 429 square feet to 367 square feet. This is the existing area right here of second floor balcony, and the new areas are broken up into these three separate roof decks. Also, I wanted to point out that the roof decks on this project, they actually provide a lower mass solution than a roof. They don't add to the mass in bulk, because essentially what we have is a flat roof with a transparent glass railing where we would otherwise have a sloped roof. Also, please note that if you've seen the story poles, and here they are right here, the story poles are required to be at the height of the top of the railing. So in a way, they make the structure look, you know, 3.5 feet taller than it actually will appear. Also, here you can see generally what the views towards the neighbor are like. This is the slope up, the dense vegetation. There are no windows here, a non-issue, the privacy. So I just want to end the presentation showing you sort of how little visual impact this project actually has to off-site locations. As you're approaching, you will only be able to see this roof ridge. It's a little hard to see in here, but it's right in here, just above this existing vegetation and lower than the existing roof. And as you continue along, getting a little bit closer, you don't see it at all. And then the only moment you see it is right when you're passing the gateway. Here's the addition right here. As you continue past, it's gone there, not visible here. And then up the street, you just barely see the top of the roof. We are requesting a floor area exception for 322 feet. For the floor area exception finding one, which requires that the visual size and scale of the proposed structure is compatible with the predominant neighborhood pattern. I sort of key in on the word visual here, that the only place that the addition is substantially visible from any off-site location is from the street right in front of the gate. Two-story plus structures are common along Gil Martin, so in a neighborhood of mostly larger homes, this addition brings the structure closer to the norm than the existing. And for finding two, which requires that the proposed structure is compatible with physical characteristics of the site, the addition is sited either on top of the existing structure or on the flat portion of the site behind the existing house. The existing site has some of the densest vegetation at the front of the property that can be found along Gil Martin. There is natural elevation change and dense vegetation, both existing and proposed, along the east side between the project and the closest house. The addition takes advantage of these natural physical characteristics of the site to have the least amount of impact to neighbors and off-site locations. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
In the staff report, the submitted plans show a roof overhang, exterior stairway taller than 3 feet, and proposed walls taller than 42 inches. I thought there's something in your
There's a condition of approval that that we work with staff to correct those.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's the precise plan does not allow anything beyond the setback,
okay.
Overhangs
so
or.
Do you understand that that's a condition of approval and we don't?
Yes.
Any other questions?
I don't think I've started in a very long time since I only recently
rejoined us.
Well, I only recently rejoined you after my sojourn, but prior to that I was chair and got to make everyone else talk first. So, so I'll start. I actually had a little bit of a hard time with this one, just because you know it's rare for me to disagree with staff, but I do think that. As to the fine existing floor area ratio, which is, I mean, really the only thing I struggle with here, that this is, to me, compatible with the neighborhood, as well as compatible with the site, i.e., to me, I mean, the site can handle it. Looking at some of the homes, you know, in the immediate vicinity, some of them are lower. Some of them do have a smaller appearance, particularly, I guess, to the projects west. And then as you go to the projects east, you know, I mean, there's a home that dwarfs the home even as proposed. So to me, you know, there are certainly a number of homes in the neighborhood that, you know, are more massive, frankly, from the street. Then this one as proposed, and I don't really think this is moving the needle of the neighborhood, so to speak, in terms of where this one would sit. I was a little concerned about how stucco would work with what I agree is kind of a Georgian vernacular of the existing house. I think either the whitewash or the paint and, you know, the dark clad windows, I think it's going to look great. So I don't have any concerns about that, having seen the presentation. So just to put a bow on it, I mean, I tend to be in support of the project as presented with the additional condition of approval. Because I don't struggle with the, you know, the more vertical nature of it. I think that, I think it works with the neighborhood and with the site. So I'll leave it at that.
I agree. But I have to tell you that I drive up this street often and I'm off and I look at this little, what looks, presents as a very small house. And so this has nothing to do with what's happening because I'm not the house police or the fashion police for houses. But I think that the house is just magic because it presents as a small cottage when you look at it and you don't realize that there's this large house behind it. And I can also, for a lot this big, it's no problem. But my only struggle is that, God, I'm sorry to see that. Just a, what I think is just a lovely East Coast Georgian type architecture go. And it's kind of a hodgepodge to me when I look at the plans. I, you know, we usually don't disagree on style, but I don't know, the stucco and the, I don't know. Anyway, it has, you know, I can make the findings too for a house this large. I'm just sorry to see that house go, I have to tell you. It's really a, it's magic.
Yeah, it's a cute little cottage.
It that's what's magic about it, is that when you look at it, it does present. As that's what's magic about it. I mean, how do you do that with a house at large? But it does present as that, and then you're going to add this other stuff, and it's, I don't know, too bad. But, you know, I can make the findings, certainly.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm like the applicant, the presentation said, the homes in the area are fairly large. And then the staff said, even though that most homes in the neighborhood are large in size, they follow the hillside and do not appear large in scale from the street view. I don't know which Guild Martin, like, and we used to even joke, it was like, you know, Old Landing Road has its little character, and Corinthian Island has its character, even Belveron has its character, and then Guild Martin has its character, and its character is like really, really large homes. Right? And I think this is definitely fitting in the character of Guild Martin. So, yeah, it's pretty easy for me. And it's not a cottage, like it's a large, and I had never gone around the back, and when I went around the back, I was surprised at actually how much house was exactly. So yeah, between the fairly large cottages on Guild Martin, I'd be able to support it.
Yeah, obviously coming from England, when I looked at the red brick facade, I thought, oh, the squire lives there or the vicar lives there. And I didn't think that the cottage, I don't regard it as a cottage either. But having said that, putting a house over the stables is fine. I think it didn't fit in. It wasn't out of character with the scale of the other house. And although I said to the other house, where do we draw the line? This is 300 foot over, and the other one was 300 foot over. It's in a 6,000 square foot house, so it's a minor thing, and the site is much, much bigger. I've compromised myself and say that I agree.
Yeah, I basically agree with what all of you have said. I mean, I think actually the view from the street will not be too vertical. I think the way that addition was set back, and it's got the two little, I'll call them dormer-like things on it, is going to help mitigate that from being a big, long addition up there. Yeah, that's the only thing that bothers me.
The rest is painted white. I must admit, I agree. When it thought it was going to be red brick, because I didn't look at the drawings carefully enough.
Yeah.
With the white, I thought it would be too much. But if it's all going to be white.
Exactly, and I think having that example helped a lot.
So I'll make a motion to find that the project is exempt from CEQA, and. That we approve the proposed plans for 143 Guild Martin Drive with the attached conditions of approval.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Do you want your plans? We're just throwing them.
We're just put them in the blue thing over there.
No comments.
I didn't either.
No.
Can I have a motion?
I move to approve the Tiburon Design Review Board minutes of August 4th, 2016.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll abstain.